Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Are we going to have more of that, or just that one box? Okay. Because that's a bit much. On this 29th day of October 2010 in Los Angeles, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam translation commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil. Text number 26. Bunjana Prapibun Kadan Balakam Sneha Yantritaha Bhojiyan Payayan Mudho Na Vedagatam Antakam Bunjanak Prabhiban Khadan Balakam Snehiyan Twitaha Bhojiyan Payayan Mudho Navedagatam Antakam Bunjana Prabhiban Khadan Balakam Snehiyan Twitaha Bodhiyan Pahiyan Mudho Navedagatam Antakam Bunjana Prabhiban Khadan Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Bodhiyan Bhayayan Mudho Navedakatamantakam. Bunjanak Papiban Kadam Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Bodhiyan Bhayayan Mudho Navedagatam Antakam Punjanak Pabibun Khadam Balakam Sneyan Pitaha Bodhiyan Bhayan Mudho Navedagatam Antakam. Go ahead. Next. Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Bodhiyan Payayan Mudho Navedatakam Antakam Bunjanak Prabhiban Khadam Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Bodhiyan Payayan Mudho Navedakatamandakam. Ladies. Punjanak Prabhiban Khadan Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Bhojiyan Payayan Mudho Navedakatamandakam. Punjanak Prabhiban Khadan Balakam Snehiyan Pitaha Navedakatamantakam. Bunjana, while eating. Prapibun, while drinking. Khadan, while chewing. Balakam, unto the child. Snehiyan Pitaha, being attached by affection. Bhojiyan, feeding. Payayan, giving something to drink. Mudaha, the foolish man. Na, not. Veda, understood. Agatam, had arrived. Antakam, death. When Ajamil chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat. And when he drank, he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name, Narayan, Ajamil could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is kind to the conditioned soul. Although this man completely forgot Narayan, he was calling his child, saying, Narayan, please come eat this food. Narayan, please come drink this milk. Somehow or other, therefore, he was attached to the name Narayan. This is called Agata Sukriti. Although calling for his son, he was unknowingly chanting the name of Narayan. And the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so transcendentally powerful that his chanting was being counted and recorded. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So this verse recalls another description that many of you are familiar with. The pastime of King Bart and the fawn, the baby deer. You recall how Bart was a great king, the son, the foremost son of King Rishabhdev. And he had left home early, actually when he was quite young, to practice severe austerities and meditation. He had advanced quite far on that meditation, even to the point of bhava. And yet, somehow or other, he developed an attachment to this fawn who had become helpless because his mother had died being frightened to death by a lion. And so this is this helpless little fawn. And you know how cute they are. And so here's this kind-hearted bhakta, this devotee, who's at the level of bhava. So naturally, he had to take care of the fawn. He just couldn't let the fawn die of exposure. So he fed the fawn and he coddled the fawn, and the fawn regarded him as his only shelter and only parents. So Bharat developed an attachment to this dependent fawn. And it's described similarly like this. When he would eat, he would call the fawn to eat. And he would, the fawn, you know, was the fawn sleeping nicely? Where is the fawn? You know, and so in this way his meditation became distracted and broken. And at the time of death, he was thinking of this fawn and became a deer in his next life. He was a special deer. He could remember his past life, and so he didn't associate with the other deer. He tried to hang out with, you know, the munis and the devotees who were singing the glories of Krishna. So in this way, it was a special birth. And in the final birth of the three, he became Jada Bharat and then went back to Godhead. But here we see, of course, in one sense, a fundamentally different situation. Ajamil is performing all kinds of sinful activity. He's not at all in a pure state of consciousness like Bharat. And yet, whereas the deer was just a deer, and when Bharat thought of that deer, he became a deer, the same kind of affection for this little boy Narayan is there with Ajamil, dependent boy, just drawing out the affection of the father. And he was constantly chanting his name, Narayan. Come here and eat, and please drink this milk, and so forth. And each time he called that boy, he was chanting the name Narayan. So in one sense, Ajamil was better situated than Bharat. It took three births for Bharat to go back to Godhead, but Ajamil went back in his very birth, although he had more work to do, of course, after he was delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. But he didn't take another birth. So this is another illustration of the great power of the chanting of the holy name. This principle of Agata Sukriti. How does someone who is completely steeped in illusion begin devotional service? What is the mechanism? Because we know that the only thing that really produces devotional service is other devotional service. You can't get devotional service by any kind of austerity, certainly by any kind of accumulation of wealth, knowledge, material qualities of any kind will not bring you closer to devotional service. In fact, those things often block you from devotional service. If you're too wealthy, you're generally very, very, very much attached to the wealth. You perform all kinds of sinful activities. You're in worse shape than a simple poor person who's on the street and interacts with ordinary people and is likely to meet a book distributor. If you're always in the limousine going from one place to another, how are you going to meet the book distributor so that you can look at the book, touch it, and maybe take a book? So the Sagyata Sugriti principle, it said that this is how you become devotee. By contacting another devotee. There has to be a contact with a devotee. And that contact may be very brief. One may not fully understand what's going on. That's the agyata part. And yet if there's some positive reaction, Prabhupada said even if, he would walk down the street, he would take all these morning walks, and people would come by in the other way, and sometimes he would just say, good morning. And they would say, good morning. And they would, recognize Prabhupada as a gentleman walking. And this recognition, Prabhupada said, is important. It's an agyata sukriti. He's a devotee. They don't even know what's going on like that. So that often comes in the relationship with prasadam. Here we are bagging up these cookies, and for the big Halloween kirtan. So many people are going to receive these cookies. And for most people, it's just a nice cookie. Of course, they'll probably know it's from the Hare Krishnas. They'll have that part. But they certainly don't know the full import of what it means to imbibe or eat a prasadam cookie. The whole science of prasadam is completely mysterious to them. So that part is totally agyata. And yet, if they take a bite of that cookie and they appreciate it, nicely prepared, hopefully, offered to Krishna, that is an enormous step forward in their devotional life. In fact, many of us, I can vouch for myself, that was a chief attracting force that kept me coming back to the temple for more prasadam. I actually met prasadam before I met the devotees. They were selling these little fruit rasa with a little baby Krishna with a label inviting to the temple. But I was a vegetarian, raw food, vegan, the whole thing. I was always looking for something sweet that wasn't cooked. And there was this fruit rasa. It was just not a luglu. Anyway, it was just basically fruit and nuts, in a nice ball. And so I was buying these at a health food store. And then one day I went there and they didn't have any. So where's the fruit rasa? I said, oh, we didn't get any from the temple, the Hare Krishna temple. You'll have to go there to get them. I said, I got to have these fruit rasa. So I went to the temple to get the fruit rasa. And there was, a book. There was Kapindra giving the Krishna book. And I was on my way. So prasadam is so important. Srila Prabhupada understood that, of course. And following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many people, they don't know why, but there's something special about that food that comes from the Hare Krishnas. So this is the great value of going out. Because what do people know? They're completely absorbed. This is it describes here how Ajamil, he forgot everything. Now just see, he was an adult. He had been raised in a Brahmin family. He had all this knowledge trained in Brahminical standards. And yet it was eclipsed. It's just like a sun being eclipsed by this entanglement with the lower modes of nature, with his prostitute and with the whole business. And, he became a thief, a rascal, a dacoit, whatever, And so how could that be? Well, because the mind, we're after all very minute. We're easily influenced by our environment. In the conditioned state, What are we conditioned by? We're conditioned by the accumulation of our associations. And if we associate with the mode of ignorance, then we'll develop those qualities described in the 14th chapter. You know, madness, procrastination, dirtiness, prone to anger, all of these things, darkness, will develop no matter where mode we were in. You can easily sink from the mode of goodness down to the mode of ignorance by the influence of your sangha. So this is what happened to Ajamil. But he had the great good fortune to name his son after Narayan, and so he was constantly chanting that name, and it was constantly purifying him until the final denouement of the whole pastime. And he was about to leave his body, and in desperation he chants that name to his great good fortune. So I wanted to go through some of the descriptions of the holy name, since this is this whole pastime deals with the potency of the holy name. I thought I'd share with you the Namashtika of Rupa Goswami. Some of you are familiar with it, some of you are not, some of you may know one or two verses, but it's very instructive, this Namashtika. And if I'm not mistaken, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song about each, at least one or more songs about each of these verses. In fact, the last one, I'm sure you know this song, Narada Muni Bhajayavina. This song is based on the last verse of the Namashtika. So at the beginning, this verse is quoted in Prabhupada's books, actually. Rupa Goswami says, Nikila Shuti Mauli Ratnamala Duti Nirajata Pada Pankajanta Ai Mukta Kalaira Pasyamanam Paritas Twam Hadinama Sankshayami. So here he gives a beautiful image of metaphor. He's saying here that the effulgence emanating from the crown jewels of all the Vedas, who remembers what those crown jewels are? The Upanishads. That effulgence is worshipping the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. Just as we do arti. You have such nice arti here with that expanded lamp. Just imagine that. 108 lamps. Right, those are the 108 main Upanishads. They have the effulgence. The effulgence is the knowledge. So the whole point here is that the knowledge of the Upanishads of all the Vedas culminates in the holy name of Krishna. Nikala Shuti, the other verse, Sakala Nigamavalli Satpalam, isn't it? Sakala Nigamavalli Satpalam. In another verse, it describes how the true fruit of all the nigamas, all of the Vedic writings, is the holy name of Krishna. So that's worshipping the tips of the toes of the lotus feet. Ai mukta kalaira pasyamanam. All of the liberated souls worship you. Very important idea. The idea is that the end of human life is not liberation. Liberated souls, atmaramastamunayo, they become attracted to Krishna. Similarly, those who are truly liberated, they continue to chant Hare Krishna, because the holy name itself is eternally liberated, pure. And the real fruit of the chanting is love of God, of his pure prema. Mukta kalaira pasyamanam paritastvam hadinama sankshyami. And in all respects, O holy name, I take shelter of you. Paritastvam, all around, I take shelter of you, O holy name. Then he has the next verse is, Jayanama deya muni vrindageya he janaranjanaya padamakshadakrate tamanararadapimanaguddiritam Vikarogratapa patalim vilumpasi. There's all glories to you, O holy name, Jayanamade, Munivrindageyahe, who are sung by all of the wise Munivrinda, all of the intelligent persons. Janaranjanaya padamaksharakrate. You're sung by the wise, but you also give delight to the people in general. Anyone who takes up chanting you will feel the potency of the holy name. And it is blissful. There's Anandam Buddhiva. Janaranjanaya Paramaksharakate, the supreme combination of letters. If someone chants you, even indifferently, you destroy the great mass of their ugra tapa, of their suffering due to sinful reaction. So here we have this idea that even just a little chanting, namabhas, even one name, can destroy all one's sinful reactions. Very merciful holy name. Then he says, and I might have the order a little wrong, but we'll get to all eight of them. Vachim vachika mityu deiti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. Purvasma padame vahanta kutanam tatrapi jani mehe. Yastasmin vihita padadanak prani samantabhave ase ne dimapasa sobi sadanam dambudo majjati. Oh, Krishna, you have two forms. One is your personal form, and one is the holy name. And as far as I can understand, you as the holy name are even more merciful than your personal form. Because even if someone performs all kinds of offenses to you personally, but he continues to chant the holy name, then eventually you immerse that person in an ocean of bliss and take them back. So this is in this age, the Yuga Dharma is such. We have deity worship, we have temples, and they're very important. But even more important is Harinam Sankirtan, the temple of the holy name. So our performance of the archa, the worship of the deity, has so many imperfections, we may perform so many discrepancies. But if we continue to chant, and we come to the point of chanting purely, all those discrepancies are left out. But if we continue to commit offenses, then we have no recourse. We have to come to the point of offenseless chanting to reach perfection. So then, that may not be the verse in order, but another verse describes Namabhas, comparing the holy name to the sun. A very nice verse. Yada baso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo dushan tut vandanam abhidishati bhakti pranahinim janastasyo datam jagati bhagavan nama tadane kuti teni vaktam yahi amahimanam bhavati. O son of the holy name, even a slight reflection of you, even before the sun rises, this is described in this verse that Haridas Thakur chants in Antilia. But this Namabhas, this is the reflection of when it's coming over the horizon, completely swallows up the prowess of the material energy, darkness. Material energy and our absorption is kind of a darkness. And the holy name is the light of the sun. So imagine yourself in a jungle or this forest of material enjoyment, right? And we are in great danger and we don't know the way out. It's just dark everywhere, right? So we're helpless. You're in a jungle. There's intimations of wild beasts, carnivores, you know, in different places. It's very frightening. But when the sun starts to come up and you can suddenly see the path out, this is a great boon, right? Oh, I see. Now I have to get out of here, and you go the path. So similarly, the sun of the holy name, according to this verse, reveals the path of bhakti to those who are blinded to the truth. Drisham tatvandanam. Tatvandanam means blind. Those who are blind to the truth, they're given the eyes to see, the vision to see the path of bhakti. Therefore, says Rupa Goswami, what great wise person could ever come to the end or fully glorify you? You're so merciful and you're so powerful in this, destroying this darkness of ignorance. So that's a beautiful verse. And he gives some samples of the holy name. Now this is one of two verses. Oh, here goes this. This needs to be. We need a new one. This is not. You know, you can put a weight on here. Hang a little bit. Hare Krishna. So the next verse, this is one of two verses in which he prays for attraction to the holy name. This is very important. We can pray for that also. We find ourselves getting a little dry, our mind is wandering. I read about the glory, you know, it's nectar of the holy name, but I'm not tasting it. You can chant these verses. Pray. So he says, Agadamana Yashoranandano Nandasunu Kamalanayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe Twai Mama Natu Ruchai Vardatam Nama Deha. Says, oh dear Lord, you have many names such as Agadamana, the killer of the Agasura demon. Yashoda Nandana, Nandanandana, the son of Nanda, the son of Yashoda. Kamalanayana, you of the lotus eyes. Gopi Chandra. Krishna is like the moon. When the gopis see his face, their eyes are like chakora birds. They drink the moonshine. Right? So he's the moon for the gopis, Gopi Chandra. Vrindavan Indra, the Lord of Vrindavan. And Pranata Karuna, very sweet name. You who are so merciful to the surrendered souls. And of course, Krishna. Anekas, you have unlimited names. Tvai mama ratat uchai vardatam namade. Oh, holy name, please increase my attraction for you more and more. Then he says, Yad brahma sakshad kriti nishtayapi vinashamayati vinana bhogai. Apaiti nama spudane natate prarabdha karmeti vidauti veda. He says that the Brahmavadis say that no matter what you do, you still have to play out your karma. You can't get rid of any karma without experiencing the results, good or bad. So you may act in such a way that you don't incur any new karma, but you're going to have to let that go. But according to the Vedas, they declare that just by chanting the holy name, all karma, good and bad, is destroyed. All glories to you, O holy name. Very important point. Because otherwise, we have so much karma, we'll never play it out. We have to have a wholesale cleanse. And that's by chanting the holy name. And the last two verses, very, very nice. He says, Suridashita janate rashaye ram michidin kanasukasvarupine nama gokala mahotsavayate krishna purnavapushe namo namaha. O holy name, I bow to you again and again. Sudita ashita janati rashiye. So arti rashiye means a great accumulation of suffering. People are suffering, we're suffering from our stay in the material world, sinful reactions. But here he says, sudita ashita, those who take shelter of you, those people, jana ashita jana, you destroy all that suffering by your power, your mercy. Sudita ashita janati rashiye ramya chid gana sukha swarupine. So here's one of these nice, in Sanskrit, you know, piling on the adjectives to try to figure out what it means. So, ramya chid gana sukha swarupine. The personification, a very charming, chid gana sukha swarupine. Chid gana means concentrated spiritual bliss, happiness. You are the very form of charming, concentrated spiritual bliss. Think about that for a while. Ram michit gana sukha swarupine. Nama, O holy name. Gokula mahotsavayate. You are a great festival of joy for the residents of Gokula. Gokula mahotsavayate. I mean, what do they do? I mean, Krishna, they don't see Krishna very much. You know, the gopis don't see. He's going out to the forest. He's coming in from the forest. He's going out. So they're chanting all day. They're chanting his name. They're chanting his pastime. They're remembering him in that way. And this way, they're swimming in the ocean of the holy name and other descriptions of Krishna. So, nama gokala mahotsavayate, Krishna purna vapushe namo namaha. You are the purna vapushe, you are the complete form of Krishna. Famous verse, abhinat van nama namino. The name is non-different from the name. I was just reading, Prabhupada was saying that as you advance, one of the goals is to be absolutely convinced and realize that the holy name is identical to Krishna. He doesn't even use that kind of a word of non-different. He says the same, identical. There is no difference. It's practically inconceivable now. It is Krishna Purna Vapushe Namo Namaha. And then the final verse, which is the basis of that song, we all know, Narada Muni Bhajai Vida. Narana Vino Jivana Sudomi Niryasa Madhuri Pura Tam Krishna Nama Kamam Spudameva Saneva Sena Sada. So he says, holy name, you are the inspiration for the Veena of Narada. Narada doesn't play the Veena just to hear the Veena sound. He's accompanying the chanting of the holy name. Narada Vino Jivana, the very life force of that Veena. Vino Jivana. Sudormi Niryasa Madhuri Pura. So here's your flood of sweetness. Sudormi Niryasa, the concentrated waves of nectar. You know, this is how Rupa Goswami is experiencing that name. Tvam Krishna Namakamam, O Krishna name, if you please. Krishna Namakam, Spodame Vasane Vasena Sada. Always appear on my tongue with great taste. Let me always have a great taste for chanting him. That's the last verse. So this is the the description of the holy name by Srila Rupa Goswami. And you see, he deals with this aspect of the holy name, of destroying suffering, of destroying sin, which is what we're reading about here. Most of this is about that. How Ajami was delivered by the mercy of the holy name, Krishna in his form as the holy name. And then he had more work to do. Then he had more work to do. And this brings up the discussion, the ongoing discussion, the dual role, if you will, or one of two aspects of the chanting of the holy name and bhakti in general. One is the deliverance from suffering, and the other is the production of the highest good and the greatest need of the soul, which is prema, pure love for Krishna. That's really the goal that our sampradaya is leading us to. The other is a byproduct, really. But it is very important. Again, I'll emphasize this point that, and as Srila Prabhupada was so attentive to pressing this idea, well, you have to present Krishna consciousness in such a way so that people can take it up. You have to begin from where people are at. And in this age, and in all ages, but this age especially, people are in the throes of the suffering due to gross sinful activities. And when Prabhupada landed on that Boston pier, he was, you know, expressing his helplessness. He says, how am I going to present this exalted philosophy and process to this benighted culture, you know, so-called civilization, where their life and soul are the four sinful activities. And they have no inkling. You know, in India, at least people are, you know, they have all the Vedas and Gita and all this thing. It's in the blood, you know, it's current. But the irony was that Prabhupada was unsuccessful in India until he went back later. But he saw, you know, but in America he was successful because people didn't know anything. They didn't know Krishna, you know, they think they knew Krishna. They just were helpless. And there was a certain group, as there are in every society, who are receptive to this message. Because even though you're in a civilization that's so corrupted and so degraded, there are still people in that culture who can be inspired by this message, by the spiritual instruction. And so after a whole year of struggling, Srila Prabhupada came into touch, you know, in the right environment, the Lower East Side and the Bowery of all places, you know, where people were into, you know, tripping and whatever it was and searching and somehow or other, and they started chanting. And they were ready to hear Prabhupada chant. And that was their great good fortune. And so, as we see, at every step of this movement, the holy name is central. You see those nice old DVDs of the old days, you know, the early 70s. I always marvel at that 1970 Rathiatra in San Francisco. Such a watershed event. The largest festival that had taken place in all of ISKCON, which was basically the United States at that time. Not much, you know, a few outposts in other countries, but, and everybody came. And you're looking at, did you see this? You know, you're looking at these carts coming at you, and there's thousands, literally, of hippies and, you know, whoever, moving along with that cart. And what are the devotees doing? They're just chanting. Chanting. They had a 7-mile long procession, which is way too long, you know. But then, you know, a lot of people, they went the whole way. Well, this is the festival. Let's go. And, you know, from enough chanting, you can kind of generate the spiritual energy. You can do those things. And then you hear Gauri. Was it Gauri? No, was it Narada Muni? I forget who was describing how, when they got to the auditorium, you know, there was basically two things going on. Taking prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna. And just look at the people, the general people, what to speak of the devotees. Everybody is, you know, shining with bliss. You know, they're just chanting. We need to reinstitute more chanting, somehow or other, you know, in our society. We've gotten away from that to our detriment. But really, this movement rests on that. It's the Sankirtan movement. To the degree that we're chanting nice rounds and chanting in kirtan and really experiencing the holy name, focusing and in good consciousness, we'll be enlivened in our devotional life. The things that seem like such mountains, the mountain will decrease. You know, the obstacles will decrease, and we'll feel spiritually on fire to actually overcome difficulties and advance in devotional service, and to do all the things that are necessary to push on this movement. It's all, after all, resting on us. Those who are alive now and are somehow involved in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, this is the group that's going to carry it on to the next generation. You may be 25, but you know it won't be long before you're 50 and 75. You know, and the 60-year-olds will be long gone. Maybe they'll be the 4-year-olds. I don't know, but it'll go around. But the idea is that it's on us, and nobody else. You know, if Prabhupada's movement is going to survive and not only survive but prosper and expand and bring in and create, you know, more devotees and continue distributing these wonderful books and everything else that we do, then we have to accept the responsibility of becoming spiritually strong so that we can carry the burden and spread the nectar. And it's all going to depend on the holy name. The chanting of our rounds, I would say, I hope I'm not, this is not controversial, is the most important service we do. It is the core of our sadhana. And if we're having trouble with that, and we find it dry and this and that, then we should take care of that. It's like a disease that needs to be taken care of right away. Because no matter what else you're doing, if that is suffering and you're finding yourself difficulty chanting, that's a sign that there's trouble. And if we're chanting together nicely, you know, how did things go on? How did this movement possibly grow the way it did? It grew because people were swept up in the sankirtan, and from that grew the willingness to sacrifice so much. Your youth, your education, your prospect of making a lot of money, you know, and even the household of life, fine, you know. Still, you know, generally that means, okay, now I got to make more money, I got to do this, got to work. But so many, you know, household of couples, they sacrificed so much. Everybody did. For, you know, pleasing Krishna, expanding the movement, serving Prabhupada. And that willingness to do that, that purity, really, came from a lot of chanting the holy name. This is what we're reading about here. And there's so many nice instructions we'll read in this section on Ajamil. Okay, questions? Archita Prabhu, you're first.
Very nice glorification of the holy name. Question regarding the Namashtaka. We know that the first verse, Nikilam Moli Shruti Moli Ratnamala, that appears in the Anchalila.
Yeah.
Is there any place, any accessible place, like a book of Rupa Goswami or anywhere else in the books? I can't think of any place where the entire Namashtaka is there in our books, in Prabhupada's books. But is there a book of Rupa Goswami accessible to the devotees where the entire Namashtaka is there?
You know, even though I've been working on the BBT for so many years, and of course, books, you know. But I don't worry so much if there's a book accessible. You just write me an email, I'll send it to you. it's accessible, you know. I mean, it's out there, definitely, with synonyms and everything. Yes. It's these things have all been liberated, largely to our old friend Kusha Krata, who spent 20 years across the street. Oh, it's in the Stavamala. Yeah, Stavamala simply means a garland of poems. You know, it's an anthology. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is placed last. It's interesting that it's the last section, you know, offering in that Stavamala. Someone else? Oh, yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes we have met people who while presenting Krishna consciousness, you meet people who say that...
Try again?
They say sometimes when you meet people, I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, and then sometimes they even tell me. Unfortunately, says the person who introduced to me was like in a very a very questionable way, taking all kinds of drugs, intoxicants, and anything.
Uh-huh.
And that happened a few times. So even they say, you know, so what to do? I say, well, that's not a model of Krishna consciousness. You were lucky to be presented in somehow or other. So yeah. What would be your advice for those people? Because sometimes they said that those people who introduced to them Krishna consciousness, they say, you know, you have to go to the temple. You know, I'm just one of those people who are completely like the bad, how to say, bad sheeps.
The what
black,
is it?
Black sheeps.
Black sheep, black yeah. Sheep. Yeah.
So they say they don't even want to keep chanting anymore because they feel that they're offending constantly.
That they're offending?
You know, yes. They're chanting. And while they're performing a lot of...
Okay, now I'm a little confused. Are you talking about the people who have met the black sheep or the black sheep themselves?
The black sheep themselves tells us an advice. You know,
so they introduce somebody to Krishna consciousness, right. And they're explaining why they're not chanting anymore because
exactly,
they're committing...
Exactly. So what's your advice for them?
What am I... advice not to the black sheep, but to the person who's confused.
To the black sheep.
All right. Well, first of all, whatever you do, never stop chanting. If you've got this idea in your mind, oh, I got to stop chanting because I'm too offensive, then that's definitely Maya's trick, you know. Because the only hope of getting free of offense is to keep on chanting, because that's the only thing that's going to inspire you to somehow give up the offenses. You see what I'm saying? So you know, it's kind of like the idea that, oh, you know, I've been trying to Krishna kind, and I can't control my senses, so let me go out there and just blow it out. You know, I'll just burn out my senses, and then I'll come back, and I'll be free of this desire. It doesn't work like that. The very fact of engaging in sense gratification covers you up so that you lose the inspiration to even try to be Krishna conscious. Or it covers you up to such a degree that you think that Krishna consciousness is like the worst thing. You know, I wasted so much, you know, I wasted 4 years of my life. You know, years ago. You know, in other words, you can go completely nuts. So whatever you do, don't drop the chanting. The chanting is our only lifeline. Now, as far as the people who meet the black sheep, now the fact of the matter is that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that oftentimes someone who has been a devotee or a strict devotee loses the ability due to offenses and messy sadhana, so they fall prey again to the temptations of Maya. But that person will still remember Krishna consciousness, be attracted to Prabhupada, and remember the days. You know what I mean? So they're in a painful situation. They've committed themselves and to sense gratification, sometimes some of the most nasty ways. But still, they know, and so they'll meet this other person and say, "Well, this is good." You know, but they're a bad example. And that, of course, that's not very good for preaching because the person, well, Krishna consciousness, I'll be like this. I don't want to be like this. So the idea is that this happens in every discipline, you know, or even every religion. You find lapsed Christians and Catholics who can't, you know, they don't go to mass anymore, you know. What about the mafia? They're all Catholics, you know. Krishna talks about them. In the 16th chapter, all right, I'll go to church and, you know, I'll look religious, you know, that'll be good for me, like Kamsa. You know, he doesn't want to look bad, so he doesn't kill his cousin, Devaki. So you know, this kind of mentality can happen. But it's not an indictment against the process itself. It simply means that it is a discipline. It's difficult to complete the course. But on a larger plane, everyone who takes up Krishna consciousness has that benefit that they will take on to the next life. Basically, the idea is that by your own example, if you meet such a person who's doubtful because they've come in touch with the black sheep, you need to come out and encourage them that, well, those are exceptions. You know, Krishna consciousness is very wholesome, it's very beneficial, and myself and others can be testimony to that. It's a problem because, you know, Srila Prabhupada, there's no doubt about it. He wanted us all to be pukka, gentlemen, ladies, so that when someone comes in touch with us, they will be impressed by the character as well as the philosophy and the prasadam and the holy name and everything else. So, but after more than 40 years, we're going to have, you know, people who have come and gone. You know, it's take a long view. Even those who have come and gone are better than those who never came at all. That's for sure. And in the next life, they'll take up where they were before. Anyone else? Or are all the cookies are done? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm sorry for me.